going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Scott will be back on Monday. Sam and Dan and I holding down the fort today. It looks very gray and very green outside.
Yeah, going to be stormy and rumbly and showery all the way through the weekend.
I just texted KMBC9 Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby, and I said, is this so bad? We need to have somebody on to talk about it. There's a big old exclamation point at the top of their website that does say strong to severe storms. So we will check in with him, see if we need to have him on to talk about timing of that. But do be weather aware, as we like to say. Be aware.
It was thundery and lightningy last night. Man, it's really feeling like spring these days.
A little bit. It's perfect. I love the smell.
Happens every year.
Listen to this on Friday. This is for Dan and Sam. You can actually see a celestial smiley face in Friday's pre-dawn sky. I'm sure you've heard about this. Yep. I'm not. You guys are the astronomers. Rise and shine early this Friday, you guys. You're going to see a celestial smiley face in the eastern pre-dawn sky. While meteor showers and auroras can be elusive and sometimes challenging to observe, especially when they're grounded together with the moon, this offers a way for anyone with clear skies to connect with the cosmos on Friday morning. Coming up, April 25th, we have the chance to experience one of these alignments, quote, as long as the weather cooperates.
Well, it's going to happen whether we can see it or not.
Right. In the hours before sunrise, two planets, Venus and Saturn, will be fairly close together near the eastern horizon, along with a very thin crescent moon. Together, this triple conjunction will form a lopsided emoji in the sky.
Can't wait to see it.
5 a.m. local time.
That's a little early. Let's see if they can push it back.
Followed by Saturn and the moon roughly half an hour later. So from 5:30, tell your kids this. This is kind of cool. Teenagers love to be dragged out of bed at 5:30. From 5:30 through 5:45 is likely the best time to see them, as the trio will be framed by the darker sky.
Yeah, so it will start around 4:30, and I love it because this national story is quoting KSNT for their information.
In Topeka?
Yeah. Going to start about 4:30, and then as you mentioned, go to about 5:30, and you will see two different versions of a celestial smiley face over the course of that hour. Again, assuming the clouds are not in the way.
All right, so we're going to go from a story that is very, very happy and soothing to one that is not. I'm not truly with this story. I'm really not trying to shame anyone. It's just one of those things that has happened to all of us at some point. If you live in or around the city or an apartment complex, Sam was saying, you know all too well the conversation we're about to have here about the car alarm. Dan, last night...
Yeah.
Did you see the post?
Yeah, I did.
I met my daughter for dinner at one of my favorite little restaurants, hers too, the French Market in Prairie Village. It is street side dining at its finest. Tiny
it
little tables.
Nice weather.
It's beautiful
last
weather.
Night.
And so what, you know, it's just a few doors down from Houston's Hardware, and everyone was packing the patio because it was such a gorgeous night out.
Yeah, let's go out. Let's have some drinks.
Oh my gosh,
let's get
incredible.
Some food.
It's important for the to frame this conversation that the two businesses to the right of French Market were closed. They're like after six kind of businesses.
Yeah.
They're one was like a daycare and one was something else. The businesses down to the left were closed. So really the only thing open right there, it was like an optical shop. The only thing open was to dine. And then all the way down is the little hardware store on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So there was really only one place for the car owner to be when this happened. And I'm only going to play this for like, I don't know, less than one half of one second, because it was so jarring. And
oh, let it rip.
Oh my gosh. You guys, it continued for 10 minutes. I wish I was joking. I am not.
They it let was it rip. Why don't we?
10 minutes. Listen. Okay, that's it. I'm going to stop it.
And it's one of those newer fancy cars that has
ear-piercing. I'm outing the car because the car, it's got to be part of the discussion, Sam.
Okay.
I'm outing the car. I'm sorry, it's got to be done. It was a Porsche. I don't know why that makes it worse, but it does.
It was a brand new four-door Porsche, either a Taycan or a Panamera, I think they're called.
I don't know. I've never had $1 million to spend on a car.
Yeah.
That's quite the alarm.
It was parked, Dan.
Wailing, ear-piercing.
I don't know. 8 feet from the closest table on the patio. And one of the problems with this alarm was that it would blare like that for about 45 seconds, ear-shattering. And then it stopped.
Oh.
And so you would get this false sense of like,
okay.
Oh God, thank God it's over. And you would just get back to your conversation. Pew, pew. It would start up again. This went on for 10 minutes.
Where was the owner?
So we're all sitting there and a woman a couple of tables down says, I can't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I'm going over to the car. We've got to figure this out.
And by the way, this is a busy patio. Every seat was packed based on the video that you showed me.
40 to 50 people.
Not like a couple of groups out there.
And keep in mind, French Market is a tiny, quaint place. You know, you go inside, you can buy some jam, you can buy some jellies, you can buy some like croissants. And then there's a tiny little area where you can sit inside. And I only bring that up because the owner of the car was inside. And then outside, bam, you're street side. And so one of the things we were all saying last night, have you ever been in a situation where everyone, you're all strangers, everyone bands together to get something done? Because we were all like, this can't continue.
So what did y'all do? Went over to the car, popped the tires, break the windshield?
A woman got up. And she said, this is ridiculous. I think someone needs to open the car door. Maybe if we just open the car door, it will stop. I film her. She goes over and she's looking at the car like, how do we get this stopped? Opens a door, shuts the door. It stops.
Oh.
And everyone starts cheering for this woman. We all go back and sit down. 45 seconds later. It starts up again.
Yeah, opening the car door is never going to get the car alarm to stop.
I mean, that's the whole point of the car alarm is if somebody opens the door they're not supposed to, the car alarm goes off.
So here's what happens, Dan. We're all sitting there just mind-blowing headache, cannot escape this noise. And a woman, I don't know why I thought this was going to be a Mission Hills man, but I did. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it.
That's okay.
I thought it was an old guy dude that drives that car.
God, so sexist.
It was not.
Going to be like a boomer?
It was a woman.
Mm.
And she comes out and it's blaring and you see her kind of say to the table closest to the car. I mean, it's street side patio. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She was inside the French Market.
The whole time.
Dan, you could have heard that alarm from space.
Oh, boy.
And so I don't know.
Now, did she have a key fob in her hand when she walked out? Like, was it obvious that it was a key fob vehicle?
Is this one of those smart cars? I've never had a car that fancy. I don't know. She did get in the car. The alarm stopped. She sat in the car for several minutes. And then she left and everyone cheered. We cheered like at the end of a movie when the villain goes away. We cheered. And I said to Sam, all kidding aside, because everyone makes mistakes, maybe she was in the bathroom in the very back with headphones on. I don't know. I don't know why she didn't come out and rectify the situation. She had a very small to-go bag, like she bought like a donut or something, like tiny, tiny bag. No one understands why this went on for as long as it did. But I said to Sam, there's no way it's legal to just let your car rip like that.
Oh, it's totally legal. And there's nothing more unifying than an annoying car alarm outside of a Johnson County restaurant. But Dana, I will tell you, it's clearly been a very long time since you lived in a very bad apartment complex. Because when I lived in a very bad apartment complex, this was like a every third night situation. And you talk about it going on for 10 minutes. No, it went
all
on
night.
All night long until about 4 a.m. when the car would die.
OK, so there's
I would have gone inside.
Oh,
tracked
yeah.
her down.
Well,
loudly.
Like, oh, just if open the door, because keep in mind, Dan, the wait staff was coming in and out to fill drinks, to get orders. So it's not like you would have heard this. You would have heard this from Lenexa.
So
that's
nobody
how loud
took
this was.
Responsibility to try and track this
no,
woman down
no,
and sat there and watched.
I don't know. If there had been like a toddler unsecured in the car, I probably would have.
Now,
well,
maybe
that's
it's
a different story. Yeah.
Maybe it's a brand new car and she was unaware of what the car alarm sounded like. So she heard the car alarm and thought to herself, no way, that's my car. I just parked it, came in for a minute. Everything's going to be
thinking,
fine.
Somebody needs to turn that off.
When we get back, we look this up.
Yeah.
If you live in an area where this is common, is there something you can do? Because we joked, can we not just call Santa Fe Tow? And then one of our listeners wrote, don't call Santa Fe Tow, call Metro
Tow. Yeah, from the text line. You got to call Metro Tow on that one.
Can we not have the car towed? Or can you not be ticketed? That there is no way that's not a noise violation. No way. And is there technology that will disable it? 913-586-7798. I mean, I wasn't going to take a hammer to a Porsche, but I thought about it. 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, boy. We got a doozy up in the Northland. So you guys remember the horrible, horrible case, the fatal dog mauling of Chris Culbertson last November.
Off that, of 80th Street in Kansas City.
My God, did and should have made headlines, and people were right to question the system.
Yep.
Why were those dogs allowed to be on or near the property? Why didn't someone confiscate the dogs? We're getting some more answers through a second case of a non-fatal mauling up in the Northland. And it is a whopper of a story. And we'd love to hear from you if you live nearby the scene of this attack, or if you just live in a neighborhood where one of your neighbors clearly has an issue with dogs that should, let's be honest, be put down. Dangerous dogs.
Oh, I mean, we hear stories all the time about different neighborhoods that can't get their mail because there is a known dangerous dog in the area that they either have a hole in their fence, or many dogs can just flat out hop a 4-foot fence or a 6-foot fence. And when they see the mailman, they hop the fence, and all of a sudden you're not getting your mail for the next 6 months.
And I also, in this case, have questions about the mail, and you're about to find out why, because I don't know how the Postal Service is continuing to operate in this area. On a residential street near North Kansas City, neighbors can be seen walking around armed with badminton rackets, pepper spray, air horns, and tasers. I'm going to say that again. On a residential street near North Kansas City, neighbors walk around armed with badminton rackets, pepper spray, air horns, and tasers to protect themselves against 7 dogs they say are known to escape a fenced-in yard in the neighborhood. And one of the dogs The dogs in question for the purpose of this story is a 3-year-old black and brown cane corso. I don't know what that is. Can we look that up?
That is a massive dog. Like a mastiff, but more like sharper edges, a little bit leaner than a mastiff.
The allegation is there is an entire property full of these cane corso dogs.
From the same house? I mean, you're not even allowed to have more than 4 domestic animals inside city
limits. We're going to get into that, Sam. Just 4 days before Mr. Culbertson was mauled to death last November, a gentleman who lives up in this North Kansas City neighborhood was attacked by one of the 3-year-old cane corso dogs named Havoc.
Well, it's a suitable name.
So the dog was quarantined for rabies, declared dangerous by the Kansas City Municipal Court, but then was returned to the owner under the condition he follow city code. And he is named, there are court cases against him. He is Nicholas Klug. Since then, he has failed a subsequent inspection and faces 2 additional citations for his dogs escaping and inciting fear in the neighbors. So we've got the bite. Then we have 1 failed subsequent inspection and 2 additional citations for his dogs getting out. Despite some enforcement from the city, neighbors in the area say not enough has been done. So let me tell you.
So it's a well-known problem property. Oh. They're well-known problem dogs.
Are they really?
Well, based on what you're telling me.
Oh, I thought you meant the breed.
Oh, no. I mean, they can be trained well. Absolutely. It's never the dog. It's always the owner.
So listen to this. A Northland neighbor who did not want to be named for the story for fear of retribution was in the back of her house on the morning of October 29th when she heard the sound of the neighbor's dogs barking and an air horn, which says to me the man who was attacked, Sam, had an air horn. Because why?
To scare the dog
off. They know these dogs are dangerous.
Which, by the way, is exactly how officers got the dogs off of Culbertson in South Kansas City.
The victim in this case, James Hughes, is a cancer patient, was walking his dog around 9:30 in the morning past the home on Russell Road when the same dog, Havoc, that we've been talking about, allegedly jumped the fence and bit his left calf.
The neighbor said these dogs could easily hop a fence.
Neighbor said she ran outside, saw the allegation is, Sam, there's holes in the fence.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Neighbor said she ran outside, saw another neighbor trying to help Hughes. She remembers seeing blood pouring down from his leg. Out of the corner of my eye, she says, I saw a dog running back toward Klug's driveway. We helped treat the wound until we could get an ambulance to the scene. Witnesses to that attack remember seeing officers blocking off the road, patrol lights flashing, hearing officers urging the dog owners to come out with loud speakers. No one came out of the house. So they all went to court in March. And Klug's attorney says, and I quote, I don't think we are disputing at this point that Havoc did get out, but we do dispute she bit him. I don't know how.
So then how do you explain the giant gash in his leg?
And the ambulance that was called.
Yeah.
And then to your point, Sam, I want to talk about the dog ordinance because I don't understand why this is continually allowed to happen. Last Tuesday, a municipal court placed Klug on probation for 2 years. The city will now be allowed to inspect his animals and his property. He must securely contain Havoc and not allow her to run at large. He must also limit himself to 4 dogs instead of what neighbors believe were 7.
And that's pretty common for most municipalities to have an ordinance stating that 4 is the limit. And it's not specifically 4 dogs. It's just 4 domesticated animals.
It gets worse.
Whether that be cats, whether that be dogs.
Klug has received 3 citations so far this year regarding his dogs. In March, 2 warrants were issued for his arrest after he didn't show up for 2 dog-related hearings. He paid the bond and was released. His attorney said he had valid reasons for missing those hearings. Here's the sentence I want to frame our conversation around at 913-586-7798. The city typically cannot remove dangerous dogs. Dogs can be impounded voluntarily by the owner. They can be taken after a bite or if there's probable cause of abuse. But I'm going to read that again. The city typically cannot remove dangerous dogs. Did you know that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So as long as the dog does not act out in a way that is dangerous to the surrounds.
He bit a guy's leg off. How, like?
Well, that would qualify. So there is also a one bite rule in most cities where the dog bites the first time and you report it, then you still get to keep the dog. The dog bites a second time, it is removed and generally put down. But even if the dog is dangerous, even if the dog is scary, if they do not directly violate those rules, they cannot be removed. Now, in this particular case, if they have evidence that there are seven dogs on that property, I would imagine that they would have full right to remove at least three of them.
They need to update the code. Phones are already ringing. Unfortunately, while violation or noncompliance of the dangerous dog section reads an animal shall be impounded, even that cannot currently be accomplished without a warrant the way the city code is written. You know, we have a man who has died in one of the most violent, unspeakable, awful, I believe, 23-minute attacks that I can recall. I mean, it was just a horrifying case. Something has to be done to update city code to make it easier to get rid of dogs that are dangerous when they are terrorizing. If your neighborhood is so afraid you're all roaming around with badminton rackets, tasers, and air horns, there's a problem with those dogs.
Did you not mention that the dog was placed under a 10-day rabies quarantine?
It's the way I read this, the way the code is written in the city, they had to give the dog back.
After the 10-day quarantine. Well, so that would be the effectively one-bite rule, right?
And then here is my second question. And if you're a postal carrier, we'd love to hear from you as well. I've got so many questions. At what point does the Postal Service say we are no longer going to deliver in that neighborhood? And are you not surprised that has not already happened? And then as a dog owner, why in God's name would you want seven dogs in violation of city code? Why would you want the liability? Because there's a homeowner's insurance component to this as well.
That's come up multiple times on the text
line. Why is the homeowner's insurance not stepping in and saying no more? 913-586-7798. We'll take your calls on that straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Talking about this case up north where neighbors, I'm going to look up this address, say they walk around with badminton rackets, pepper spray, and air horns after a string of incidents with one of the neighbors' several dogs. Now, the number of dogs is in dispute. I think his attorney is saying he has the proper number, but KC Pet Project is saying at some point he had seven. Why in God's name would you want seven dogs and the liability that comes with that when they are prone to escape?
Well, and not to mention, and we've mentioned this before on the program, specifically with the incident last November and the guy who lost his life, Culbertson, I believe was his last name, off of 80th Street. We also have an issue with stray dogs in this town. They pack up, they run the woods. And oftentimes they will attack people if you catch them at the wrong time. From the text line, I live in East Independence. I keep an aluminum bat in my passenger seat because when I get out of my car at the end of the day, I never know if there's a stray dog nearby that's going to attack.
So I just looked up the property and then we'll get to the phones. I mean, it's a typical ranch style house, probably three bedroom, two bath, surrounded by neighbors with similar sized homes. I mean, this is going to be a residential area, a little bit of a busier road. I don't know if there's a school down there. It's a 25 mile an hour speed limit sign there, but very, very residential area. Let's go to Bruce in Raytown. Hey, Bruce.
Yeah, a ball bat and a tennis racket. None of that stuff does any good against a dog or pepper spray. None of that. You need wasp spray. I carry it with me everywhere I go. I have two bicycles. I have it on the bicycles and on my motorcycles in my car and in my front door of my house. When I answer the door, I have wasp spray in my hand.
You're the second person who's talked about that, Bruce. Not only for dogs, but for women, instead of mace, they say get wasp spray.
I called about it before.
Is that okay? I remember that call. Have you ever been approached by a dog on your bike or motorcycle?
Yes, and I sprayed wasp spray on it, and it just went to the ground and started spinning in circles and hollering, just yelling and spinning in circles. I just went on.
Well, if it stopped it, I'm glad for it, Bruce. In the case of this dog, Havoc, this is way later in the story, and no one wants to see an animal get hurt, but I'm reading the story. Havoc was apparently recently found on Klug's property, shot, but not fatally. That investigation is ongoing. And one neighbor is quoted here as saying, "We are not willing to let this pass until the dogs actually kill someone or bite someone again. It is not right." Let's go to Mike in Topeka, who is going to argue with what our last caller just said, Mike.
I cannot stress this highly enough. Do not use wasp spray in self-defense. It does not work. That is going to get someone hurt or killed. Don't take my word for it either. Google it. There's all kinds of articles about how ineffective wasp spray is in uses of self-defense. And there are videos on YouTube where people actually let themselves be sprayed with wasp spray.
God.
And you see that it does nothing to them. That is a very, very, very bad advice. Please, please don't take my word for it. Google it. It is bad.
I just did. And it says wasp spray for self-defense is a bad idea. It is a myth.
Yes, that is a big myth I wish would go away. I personally recommend POM, P-O-M, pepper spray. It's highly effective. I know from personal experience, because I tested it on myself, because I want to know that if I trust the women and myself and my family to a self-defense product, it is going to work, and it will put you on the ground in a heartbeat. And it's cheap. It's like $12 for a little can of it. That is what I would go with.
Well, look it up, Mike. Thank you for the call. Let's go to John in Rayville. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good. Go ahead.
If this, and I haven't seen the article, but if this is the dogs that are in the Newmark neighborhood, about 101st and North Oak in that area.
It's on Russell Avenue. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Okay, yeah. Okay, it's not the same dogs, but we had them, the same problem up there in Newmark, and I just moved from Newmark 3 years ago up here to Rayville. These dogs would get out and attack anything that would move. Man, woman, child, dog, cat, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And the neighbors would go to the police department. The police department would get the Humane Society down there. But they had their windows in their garage covered so they couldn't see how many dogs they had. And it got to the point where if we went to the swimming pool in the neighborhood, I carried a small caliber pistol with me. Because I was going to shoot those dogs, and I love animals. I would never abuse an animal, but these guys that just let their dogs run and attack people, they really need to be held liable for it.
Well, I agree, and this definitely is going to court, John, because of the injury. In a statement, listen to this. KC Pet Project says they cannot apply for a warrant to seize a dog, and that dogs that get out are often secured by the time police get there. So it's important, if you're an eyewitness, to testify about your observations and get photos. Well, I understand what they're saying, and I understand that KC Pet Project's hands are tied here, but if a man is being attacked, your first thought is not pull out your cell phone and take a camera to prove that it was Havoc that caused the injury.
No, you want to protect yourself or you want to save your neighbor. This was part of the big controversy when they signed that deal with KC Pet Project in the first place, is that they are not badge carrying officers. And so there are extra steps to get that
to get the warrant,
rather than when KC police were running animal protection
division. Here's the
issue
that I have with that. Yes, maybe they have to have a warrant. I understand what you're saying, Sam. But it's not like we're asking KC Pet Project to, we're not deputizing them. We're not asking them to go out and make a citizen's arrest. We're asking them to get a dangerous dog off the street. If the dog is outside, I don't know why they wouldn't have the authority to do that.
But
and
that's
if not,
what they're saying.
We need to give them that authority. Now, I understand they probably can't go onto private property if they're not a sworn law enforcement officer. But police have better things to deal with than this.
Typically, somebody would make a call and it would take 30 to 45 minutes for them to get out to that property. Kansas City is a big city. There's a lot of ground to cover. And so if it takes 30 to 45 minutes to get there, by that time, the homeowner will have realized, uh-oh, the dog is a problem. They go out, they get it. And all KC Pet Project can do is knock on the door and say, hey, do you happen to have a dangerous dog in there?
No, I don't have any dogs.
Sam,
he didn't even answer the door.
Yeah.
It says police were there with bullhorns telling them, come out of the house. Come outside. And no one came outside. Listen to this. Prior to the KC Pet Project taking over the city's animal control, there were 6 cases filed against this man. 6. According to the city, he received 4 citations in 2017 for not registering his dogs, additional citations for not wearing dog tags, and then we have the bite and the issue with the fence.
Well,
I feel so bad for anyone who lives right there.
The citations for unregistered dogs would tell me or at least hint at the idea that there are more than 4 on that property, because I don't believe you have to register them if there's fewer than 4. When you have more than 4, because you can't have more than 4, you just have to go to the city and say, hey, I've got X amount of dogs, these are their names, these are their breeds, so that they can keep it in check.
But the allegation is there are 7, and I think 3 of them are those Cane Corsos, and there are 4 various other dogs. It's irresponsible, is what it is. There are probably children in the neighborhood, and I'm mark my words, if somebody else gets hurt, Sam, this town will lose its ever-loving mind.
We expect people to be responsible. We expect people to train their dogs and have dogs as a loving member of the family. And maybe in the home, that dog is a loving member of the family, but you can't just let it run wild on the streets.
It is worth noting that in the Culbertson fatal mauling case, the father and son duo who owned those dangerous dogs were charged criminally last week.
They were. I believe there were also text messages alleging that there was some sort of breeding going on and that the father knew about it. Oh, from the text line, thank you, I did not know this. You are required to license any dog in Kansas City, Missouri. However, compliance and follow-up is very low.
913-586-7798. We're back with more of your calls straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Let's wrap up our conversation here with Hannah in Kansas City. And then I've got some news about Jelly Roll and some news out of Lawrence. If you guys are burglary victims or have had your car broken into, you're going to want to stick around for that. Hello, Hannah. Go ahead.
Hello. So I've got a little Chihuahua Terrier mix, and I used to walk him on the leash around my neighborhood. But there have been occasions where people's dogs get loose, things like that. But on one particular occasion, a lawn service gentleman was doing one of my neighbor's homes, and he had 2 rather large husky dogs that were not on leash, that were just running wild through the neighborhood, and they actually attacked my dog. And the gentleman had the nerve to tell me that it was my fault because my dog was aggressive. A Chihuahua Terrier on a leash. So anyways, I told him he was a bad pet owner, took video and pictures, sent it to KC Pet Project. Nothing ever came of it. But there's a leash law in Kansas City. It's well known. If you don't have your dog on a leash, there should be some kind of repercussions. And I don't feel like there really are for the most part.
Hannah, I'm super sorry that happened to you. And no, I don't think there are repercussions for things like that. Look at how long Metro Tow was able to...
Allegedly,
illegally tow hundreds of cars, thousands of cars.
Who knows?
Like, you look at some of the things with a city our size, and the problems we have are not unique to Kansas City. Every large city is going to have its issues.
Certainly the square footage is unique.
But I feel like sometimes it's like, get in line. There's so many problems. Is the leash law going to get to the front of the line to get fixed? No.
Right.
You know the answer is no.
And as we've already mentioned, if somebody were to call on those dogs in particular and say, hey, they're not on their leash, the lawn care owners, allegedly, are just going to go get the dogs, put them in their truck, and say, no, they weren't out running. Right. What are you talking about?
Or put them back in the house.
Yeah.
All right, so listen to this. The Tennessee Parole Board has recommended that the governor pardon country star Jelly Roll. The Tennessee Board of Parole this week recommended a pardon for country music star Jelly Roll, a Nashville native who has spoken openly about his criminal history and what it has taken him to overcome it. The board's action leaves the final decision on a pardon up to Governor Bill Lee. The board issued its non-binding recommendation unanimously. Quoting here from Jelly Roll, this is incredible. I pray it goes through, but today was special for me regardless. I did not know this. His most serious convictions include robbery at age 17 and drug charges at age 23. In the first case, at age 17, a female acquaintance helped him and two other young men enter a house in 2002 and rob those inside. The other two men were carrying guns, although Jelly Roll was not. So serious crime at age 17.
Yeah, he did not live a very easy life ahead of his musical career. You know, a lot of drugs, a lot of partying, a lot of mischief. And he had some run-ins with the law. And now, as he has turned himself around and exploded on the global stage, Tennessee is wanting to say, you know, you've done the right thing and you don't deserve to have that on your record anymore.
And
now,
if you're wondering,
I love it.
Well, real quick, if you're wondering, did he get special treatment? Part of the reason they are petitioning for this is because of his travel schedule. He says it takes a team of lawyers to unlawyer all of the things that have to happen for him to travel. He's got to go to Canada to perform. He says the criminal record makes that difficult. You know, I'm not saying it was okay what he did at age 17.
I was just about to ask, is this not a case of special treatment because he blew up and is now famous?
Well,
because
but
would Joe Schmo...
But would Joe Schmo be traveling to, you know, 300 cities a year and need to go to Canada? No.
Well, no, because Joe Schmo has a felony.
I know.
Anyway, I love it. I love Jelly Roll. I think that he has turned his life around and deserves forgiveness, but... The question still remains.
It's going to raise some eyebrows, but, yeah. You know, he's turned his life around. When we get back, the Lawrence Police Department posted this overnight. If you have had your car or home broken into and you live in Kansas City, Lawrence, or Topeka, the Lawrence Police Department is currently sifting through mounds of recovered stolen property. They actually did a little video running all the way down the line in the office of some of the stuff that has been bagged and tagged since they recovered it from one man at a Motel 6 in Lawrence. And that
guy... We'll leave the light on for you.
Oh, you will wait till you hear this, Sam, if you didn't see the post. The guy is from Kansas City. And when they found him at this Motel 6, I'm going to tell you what they found and why they're saying, give us a couple of days. And
there's
then we're
going
to start reaching out to people that we think have been victimized by this guy. 913-586-7798. We'll be back with that and much more straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.